Hello, and welcome to episode 3, week 2 recap episode, September 18th, 2019. This is PPR here, Fantasy Process Report, with Nick Carter and Jason Hyde. How's it going, Jason?
What's up, guys? How's it going, Nick?
Pretty good, you know, getting by here.
Loving life, man, dealing with injuries and all that sort of good stuff that comes with fantasy football.
Yeah, dude, first week I was 2-2 with my four teams, and this past week I had the clean sweep 4-0, so kind of on cloud nine right
someone's
now.
Someone's feeling themselves.
Yeah, you know, just getting ready, make it to the playoffs. That's what you got to do. That's the goal, make it to the playoffs and then go from there.
Yeah, exactly. All you're trying to do at this point is just keep enough depth so that you can sustain your injuries as you go throughout the year.
You don't want that.
Definitely not. But in my work league here, I drafted 4 running backs, and right now I'm trying to swing a trade to beef up my wide receiving core, because even if I trade one of the running backs, I'll still have 3, and that's enough to carry me throughout the year, assuming, Leonard Fournette goes down with a hamstring injury or something like that, right now you're just trying to keep your depth and sustain the injuries as they come, because they're all inevitable.
I mean, honestly, I'm okay with rostering 4 running backs and just holding on to 4. Injuries happen.
Yeah.
Well, the problem
I'd be fine with keeping Marlon Mack on my bench for the time being.
The thing with me, too, is that I have a lot of these guys that were injured coming into the season, so I kind of had to have at least 4 on my roster. But either way, at this point, I had some backup quarterbacks that kind of seemed useless to me. So I decided to drop some backup quarterbacks to get some more wide receiver running back depth. There's a couple wide receivers that, I have a couple teams where I don't want to drop who's on my roster. For instance, Christian Kirk. He's a guy that is in our league, he's my worst wide receiver on my roster. I'm trying to go pick up another wide receiver, but I've got too many on my team already. So, I'm dropping another
position. That's the problem. You're still in week coming into week 3, we're still in that sort of honeymoon phase of the draft where, everyone has that thing where as soon as you finish your draft, you're just like, man, my team is the best. I love all my guys. I'm so confident this guy's going to break out, or this guy's going to keep up the year he had last year. And even if guys got off to a slow start, you're still in that honeymoon phase where you're like, I still believe, I still think this guy can do it. Or maybe they did have 2 great weeks and you're like, I'm definitely not dropping him. But yeah, it takes a little while sometimes for that to fade and for you to be like, all right, this guy's not putting it together, I can drop him now.
Either way, this is a very pivotal point in the season. This is where either you're going to overreact to 2 weeks, or you're going to be right about overreacting to 2 weeks worth of work from players that you aren't used to seeing it from. But
yeah, absolutely.
I always question the overreaction. For instance, John Ross, you and I were just talking about it before we started this episode. Did you say he was the number 1 or number 2 fantasy wide receiver right now?
He's number 2.
He's number 2.
Yeah, in standard scoring with a 1-point PPR in ESPN leagues, he's number 2, right behind Sammy Watkins.
How? I mean, even Sammy Watkins, how? I mean, I get Tyreek Hill is out, I get AJ Green is out, but how?
Oh my God, Sammy Watkins is looking at 15 catches for 247 yards and 3 touchdowns. Through 2 weeks.
Well, he got those 3 touchdowns in the first week.
Yeah. And then John Ross has a little bit more yards on less targets. So John Ross is looking like more of the home run threat here. He's got 11 catches, 270, and 3 touchdowns.
And honestly,
both over 20 targets. So 10 targets, Sammy Watkins is looking at 12 targets a week, and then John Ross is at 10. I mean, I don't care what you're doing with the ball, 10 targets a week or double-digit targets a week, that'll carry you a while.
My concern with those two in particular, though, is that they got the star wide receivers just, waiting to come back from injury and,
Exactly.
So we'll see if they're able to sustain it once those guys come back. But in the meantime, stream the hell out of them.
Oh, absolutely. If you are able to pick them up or if you drafted them late, then absolutely ride it out until those stars come back. And who knows, maybe even once those stars come back, they'll still be fantasy viable because you look at that Chiefs offense, they can sustain all kinds of production all over the place with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and then maybe Sammy Watkins is going to put together that one consistent season that everyone's been looking for a long time. And then the Bengals have been surprising on offense too, with Zach Taylor leading the charge. If you look at Andy Dalton's stats, he's been very, very surprising to start off the year.
I don't know if that one's going to hold true, though. You know, the Bengals, I think they were coming into the season one of the worst projected teams. So
yeah, I don't doubt it.
You know, that's one where I don't know if I'm buying into it yet. So we'll see. But Chiefs,
yeah, that's
all the way. Chiefs are going to be an offensive powerhouse throughout the entire season. As long as Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So we didn't even get a chance to, you know, get into the fact that we're missing our lead vocal here, Matt Hungerbueller. We kind of mentioned it in the last episode. He's off getting ready to start the next journey of his life, and that involves a bit of a travel away from home. So we're going to be out without him for majority of this season. We'll see if we can get him on, if he's visiting home at some point. Unlikely, but in the meantime, it's just going to be Jason and I. We're definitely open to having guests on the show. We've had guests on the show in the past. It's pretty much been, I think, successful every time we've done it. So if you're listening, you're interested, you know where I'm at.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's good having different opinions come in, too. And especially, I think you had a friend last year who's not even in our league who was able to come in and provide a kind of a third-party look at fantasy football without any bias towards different players that were on either our teams or opposing teams or something like that.
I know. I feel like we're always referencing our league, but hey,
yeah.
What do you expect?
Exactly.
All right, so let's get into the bulk of this. Most important takeaways from this past week is the fact that there were some major quarterback injuries with major fantasy implications.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, looking at I think the biggest one, well, I mean, I think it's probably tied. It's obviously Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger. But you look at Ben Roethlisberger, and not even the quarterback position, like not even taking that into consideration, it's all the other players that would affect. And I think Juju, you look at his season, and he was kind of underwhelming from the beginning. And now, especially with Ben Roethlisberger going down, I think Juju's value just plummets. Like, I think he's going to a wide receiver 3 category right now. I don't think it's... I don't know if you can justify
mentioning him, wide receiver 3.
It's close.
Come on now, wide receiver 3, come on. Right, he's still like, I mean, he's still really good. If he ends up as a wide receiver
good, but,
3, then man, I will give you credit, but shit.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to just the offense in general. Like, I've been tooting this horn for a long time that just the Steelers' offense in general produces good fantasy players. Like, you look at a couple of years ago, it was Mike Wallace as the number one receiver, and then Antonio Brown as the number two, and both of them did well.
Yeah.
And then there was Le'Veon Bell at running back, and whenever he was out, D'Angelo Williams, he did well. James Conner last year, he did well. Jalen Samuels came in for James Conner at the end of last year, and he did well.
You know what all those guys have in common?
In general,
you know, they
had Ben Roethlisberger as a quarterback.
Yep.
Exactly. So I think that's probably going to hurt them way more than a lot of people think, because I think the parts are so interchangeable. That's not to say that any of them aren't very talented. I mean, you're seeing Le'Veon Bell is succeeding in New York. He's obviously a very talented player. But I think just the system and the quarterback meant that even if guys went down or they traded or left in the offseason or whatever, whoever stepped up also did well fantasy-wise. So I think just losing Ben means everyone's value plummets. Like, James Conner's value is down. Juju's value is down. James Washington's value actually might go up a little bit.
But that wasn't
very high. A bunch of, yeah, no, it wasn't very high. But in the preseason, there was some rapport between him and Mason Rudolph. But actually, I think the one guy whose value goes way up is Vance McDonald.
Yeah, I mean, tight ends are always reliable for, you know, backup quarterbacks.
Exactly, yeah. And then in New Orleans, I've actually sent out a couple trade offers for Alvin Kamara because I'm trying to buy low because I think his value is going down too.
Absolutely.
Because you look at, like, I think when Breeze went out and Teddy Bridgewater came in, Kamara just disappeared.
Oh my God. Teddy Bridgewater did not look good at all.
No. And I think a lot of Kamara's value just came from that passing game. So not getting targeted and not being involved and then people stacking the box or whatever, I think that's just not his style. I don't think he can succeed in that kind of offense.
Yeah. I think the major difference, though, between those two injuries is that Ben Roethlisberger's out for the rest of the year, whereas Drew Brees will be back.
That's true.
And honestly, the weapons that are on the Saints, I think that that team is going to be, those guys are still going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think Michael Thomas is still going to be okay just because he's such a great receiver.
He's going to be part of the game plan and be targeted still a million times. That's just a fact.
Oh, for sure.
So
yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be their game plan. It's like, if you're in trouble, just throw it his way. So that might involve a couple picks, but I think he'll still get his targets, and targets usually equal good fantasy production.
Interesting ad if you're in a deep league with a lot of teams. Taysom Hill. What are the odds that he, you know, gets more of an opportunity with Breeze being out and they change his position to quarterback, wide receiver, running back, or just quarterback, running back?
I think that could be interesting. I do not have the balls to go for that, but
if he becomes a wide receiver or running back, I am adding him, dude.
It could, yeah, he could be. I mean, that's, he's just such a wild card because he's like, they always throw him in like the most random spots. You never know when it's coming, and then you never know when he's going to vulture a touchdown or something. But now with Breeze out, they might do more of a kind of QB split, because we've heard of a running back by committee. This might become a quarterback by committee.
Plus, Bridgewater did not look that great again, you know, so no. That opens the door for Taysom Hill.
Yeah. No, no, absolutely, yeah. So it's, well, fantasy is so tough because, like, the most we can say is, like, I don't know. So, like,
yeah.
It's so tough to be like, oh, yeah, add him or he's going to do well or whatever. So it's just so tough.
Like I said, if you're in a deep league, if you're in a 10-team league, not worth it. Not worth it.
No, not until he starts to do something.
Yeah. But, yeah, well, like I said, I agree with you with the Steelers. Their players are all screwed. Not to mention the fact that James Conner is coming off an injury, I believe. I think he was a did not practice today, but last I read, he was optimistic. So I wouldn't count him out for this upcoming week. But that team is, I mean, you would think that they were in tank mode right now. But then they go ahead and trade their first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
I guess that's with an eye on the future, too. But, I mean, even I guess, then, like,
but shit.
Ben Roethlisberger's, what, like 37 now or something? Like, he's not young. I don't think he has a whole lot longer.
Yeah. What do you think about Mason Rudolph, though? You think he's...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, all of this is with, you know, the expectation that the backups are going to be nothing special, but...
Mason Rudolph, I mean, could. He was at Oklahoma State, I believe, yeah. Right?
Yeah,
it was
like
a very
offensive
power team.
Yeah, like once upon a time, Tom Brady came in and he was this no-name sixth-round pick and replaced Drew Bledsoe, and you know, the stuff like that happens. Like Colin Kaepernick did it to Alex Smith with the 49ers when he went down a couple years ago, and he really succeeded. And then he took over the job for a couple years until, well, we know what happened. But yeah, so that kind of stuff happens. Like, it's not impossible. Like Mason Rudolph could be a fantastic quarterback. We just, the odds are not great.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy into it, but hey, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, it could happen.
More quarterback news from my neck of the woods. The New York Giants have officially moved on from Eli Manning.
It's been a long time coming.
They have not cut all ties. He's still on the roster. Yeah. But Daniel Jones has been named the starting quarterback for week 3.
Oh. I think the biggest sort of like representation of Eli Manning's career was I was scrolling through social media and I saw one of those like, you know, career stat graphic things, and it was like he had this passer rating and he threw for this many yards, which is, you know, sixth in NFL history or something, which is crazy to believe. And his record was a perfect 500.
Yeah, that's...
Like, it was like 161 and 161 or something, and I was like, that's just the perfect representation.
I was going to say, that if that doesn't represent, like, Eli, I don't know what does.
He was just so average, just so mediocre in all phases of the game. It was incredible. He just fell ass backwards into a good defense and a hot team at the right time and went far in the playoffs a couple times, and that's all you need, I guess, sometimes, but... He's just such an average quarterback for his entire career.
Yeah, and I mean, you know what? I love him. He's my man. Eli Manning, I love you, dude. I got to see 2 Super Bowls in my lifetime because of you.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. And Joe Flacco became the highest paid quarterback in NFL history based off a good run. That's all you need sometimes.
Anybody who tries to take that away from Eli Manning, You can blow me because, you know, Eli Manning. The defense did help us a lot, and they definitely got us there. But, you know, you can't take away Eli Manning. He was named the MVP in both of those Super Bowls, you know. And I hate to put one game's performance up there, but the one game is pretty important.
Oh, absolutely. And as much as I am not – I hate the Giants. I hate how Eli Manning fell ass backwards into it. But at a certain point, you have to admit that the quarterback position is the most important on the field. Like, not even close. So, to succeed and win a Super Bowl, the quarterback has to be doing something right.
Yeah. Hunky, I hope you're listening, and I hope you're just, like, cursing us right now. And the fact that you can't partake in this argument right now. It's just, it's not even an argument. Exactly. We agree. Eli Manning is great.
No, we do.
Yeah, yeah. Eli is wonderful.
I don't think he was, he wasn't ever great. He was just...
Walter Payton, man of the year. He's a wonderful person.
Yeah. Sure. Let's go with that.
Well, needless to say, I don't know if you can tell, I'm excited. I have moved on from Eli. Appreciate your service, my dude, but it is time for the next chapter in the New York Giants, and I don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be, you know, here for long, but I believe in him. It's the beginning of his career, so all I can do is hope for the best at this point. He wasn't who I wanted us to use our draft pick on, but... What can you do? Move on. So we'll see what he does. If he, I thought that he would be named the starter for the Giants. I didn't think it would happen this soon. I thought it would happen by like week 5. I think was my prediction. Mm-hmm. But damn, 2 losses is all you got, Eli.
It's a little early for what a lot of people were expecting.
Only 2 losses, because they seem so confident coming into the season. Eli is our guy. Eli's the starting quarterback, and it didn't take them long to switch.
No, definitely not. And how long do you think it will be? Like, let's say Daniel Jones gets off to a bad start, and everyone, like, how many weeks do you think of a bad start do you think it'll be before people start saying, like, they should have taken Josh Allen last year, or they should have taken Josh Rosen last year, or something like that?
One.
You think one?
One quarter. Probably,
because
of
as
bad
generational
football.
Of a talent as Saquon Barkley is, and he really is, that doesn't make up for a bad quarterback. Like, you've never seen a Super Bowl win or a team win a Super Bowl on the back of a great running back, but with quarterbacks, you have to have a good quarterback.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that, like, at this point, you know, everybody's kind of riding high on Daniel Jones right now because he had a good preseason. I don't buy into any of that shit.
Preseason
is,
means nothing.
I don't trust it at all.
That means less than nothing.
So, again, I'm not getting overhyped about Daniel Jones. I'm more hyped about the fact that the Giants have moved on from Eli because I thought that was going to be multiple more years before they might move on from him. So,
I know. It just seemed like the thing that never died, like Frank Gore. He just lasts forever.
But either way, brighter days ahead of us, hopefully. So we'll see. Another quarterback injury of note from this week, getting back to the injury side of things. Cam Newton, he has not been looking good. I think it came out earlier tonight that he's unlikely to play in week 3. So this isn't a long-term injury. This is kind of just a, you know, this coming week thing. But to be honest with you, he has not looked good either.
No.
Coming off a loss on Thursday Night Football to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
At home.
And I saw something recently that perfectly explains why he's falling apart. In the past 7 years, he's had 7 different starting left tackles. Like, that's not good. So I think it's just he's been getting beat up so much in the past couple years.
Yeah.
So the left tackle. Yeah, he's had 7 different starting left tackles, and then he's also had like Ryan Khalil retire, and then like Jordan Gross retire, and like he's not had a consistent.
Their left tackles are like the Browns' quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I was also looking at his stats, and if you look at him, he has almost no rushing attempts. Like the team itself is not designing runs for him. Like you would expect.
Yeah.
I've been saying for years that Cam Newton is the best goal line option in the league. Like,
well,
if I had the ball at the 1 yard line and I could do a quarterback sneak with Cam or a rush with anyone else, I'd take Cam because he's
a double
6'6" bowling ball. Yeah, he can get into the end zone. So, But the problem is that the Panthers are not doing any of those design plays. And then what's even worse is he's not improvising either.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's only two games, so it's not a huge sample size. But
I thought that's where he was more effective running the balls, when he was improvising.
Yeah, and he's not doing it. Yeah. So it's tough. I mean, I think the injuries are just catching up to him, and he's just got too many in too many areas. Because like last year was his shoulder, and now it's like his knee or his foot or something, and he's just it's not looking good.
So we'll come right back to Cam, but before we get on to the week two games. Just want to touch on one more injury that just came out. David Njoku, I believe he got a concussion or he was in concussion protocol after week two. But just tonight it came out that he has also broken his wrist. So this is something that will keep him out for a month. And if he has surgery, which I believe he will, I think it's smart of him to have surgery. It's going to be longer than a month. So... I already dropped him in my league. I didn't draft him that high to begin with, so I've moved on from the Njoku phase and using the roster spot elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a good call. I would agree with that too, especially because as a tight end, you probably didn't draft him super high anyway.
No.
But I mean, the only reason you would hold on to him is just because like there really aren't many other options at tight end. So.
Yeah.
You might pick up, like, a...
Greg Olsen's been available in a couple leagues.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a Mark Andrews or something, but Mark Andrews is long gone.
Yeah, no, he was gone after week one. I only had him available.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's who, actually, my Njoku replacement was. I picked him up after week one.
Hey, well, there you go. So you lucked out.
Yeah, I did.
But, yeah, I mean, at this point, if you can pick up someone else, they're probably not going to do great. So you're probably going to pick up someone... They're going to get you like 3 or 4 points a week, maybe 10 if they have a touchdown or something.
Fucking Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, and then you're not going to be able to wait until Njoku comes back, and then you can slot him right back in there. So, I mean, it might be worth holding on to him just because of how thin the position is. So, if you drop him, someone else is going to be picking him up in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, unless you pick him back up at that point.
But. That's true. you could try that.
Either way.
Funny thing about... that injury is, I don't see that changing really anything for the other Browns players. Like, I don't see Jarvis Landry or Odell or Nick Chubb's production, dropping or rising at all.
No, I mean, he was kind of a non-factor to begin with. I thought a lot of people had him ranked. I mean, like, ESPN and other sites just had him ranked way too high. I think he was ranked, like, top 5 tight ends coming into the season, which I thought was ridiculous, but, you know, he still fell in most of my drafts, so I think...
I think that was more a product of a lot of people being way too high on the Browns offense.
That's true.
I think they just saw Baker have like a good end of the year, and then they got Odell and Nick Chubb kind of solidifying as a starting running back, and everyone just like got way too high on the Browns offense for like no reason. Well, I mean, there was a reason, but it was like it wasn't like totally proven just yet.
Yeah, and I think people are starting to... I mean, Odell had a good game. A lot of it was from one catch, but I think people are in general starting to regret their investment into the Browns because Chubb's been average compared to where he was drafted. Baker's been drafted as a lot of people's starting quarterback. So, you know, we'll see going forward, but they got to get their shit together.
Oh, for sure. The one piece of that I like that's been pretty consistent is Nick Chubb. Because I actually drafted him in one of my leagues, and regardless of what his production is so far, it hasn't been amazing, but he's definitely got the rushing share.
He's
like,
still getting you double digits each week.
Yeah, he's getting you double digits, and honestly, I couldn't even tell you who their backup running back is. Like, that just shows you he's not even close to a competition.
I did notice they were using their backup quarterback a good bit in that game because I noticed that he resembled Kareem Hunt to me. He had those dreads, and you know, so I was like,
oh man,
this guy's going to be used exactly like Kareem Hunt is, but Kareem Hunt's going to be obviously used more because Kareem Hunt's way better. So, you know, they were still using their backup, so that is of note for later down the road when Kareem Hunt does come back, but don't worry about that right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I'm just looking at the carry share in Cleveland, and Nick Chubb has 35. The next closest is D'Ernest Johnson with 4.
D'Ernest? I like how you said that.
Dearnest, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Both of those were...
D apostrophe Ernest.
You were closer the first time.
Anyway, he's got four. So, yeah, Nick Chubb's not even close. So, that's what I love about that offense is if you have Nick Chubb, roll him out every single time, no matter what.
Well, obviously, you drafted him as your first running back.
Most likely. I got him as my second.
Really? Did you take running back 1-2?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Mr. Ezekiel Elliott in the first round, and then Nick Chubb in the second.
Yeah, Zeke was definitely a good investment, especially if you didn't draft him in the top like three and got him outside there.
Well, yeah, what happened in our league was we drafted before he re-signed.
Yeah,
so I took a flyer on him. It was the 7th overall pick, and I took Zeke. And then like a week later or a couple days later or something, he re-signed, and then Pete offered me Christian McCaffrey straight up. So essentially I got what would have been the 2nd overall pick for the 7th.
Yeah, no, it was interesting how it worked out, but it did work out. So.
Yeah, no, I like it. I took a leap and it paid off a little bit. So.
Alright, let's go through these week 2 matchups. Let's try and move a little bit because we want to get some other segments in here. Mm-hmm. So
speaking of Christian McCaffrey, the Thursday one from last week, the Buccaneers and Panthers, Christian McCaffrey was nowhere to be found. I don't know how that happened, but honestly, I think that's just an anomaly. I think even with a backup quarterback coming in, he's too good of a weapon. I think he's just going to stay an integral part of that game plan. They're either going to run him 22 carries and then look to screen pass. I think he's just going to be that safety blanket the whole time, so I would not worry about McCaffrey at all.
Yeah, I think... This team is going to run offensively through him. Christian McCaffrey won't be affected. You don't have to worry about him doing worse than this past week. I think he's only going to do better, even with the backup quarterback, because, like you said, this was an anomaly. There's no way he's only going to have 2 catches in a game. Given he was targeted 6 times, but who knows what was going on with Cam. But either way, Christian McCaffrey is going to be fine. The one who I think will be negatively affected from this is DJ Moore.
Yeah, for sure.
He's Cam's favorite target right now. He was targeted 14 times in the last game. 9 catches, so, you know, it's a high percentage of catch rate there for the targets. So I think his productivity will go down a little bit. Greg Olsen, as long as he's healthy, like I said, keep streaming him. I picked him up in my one league where I had some tight end issues with the backup there. So, Greg Olsen, he's healthy, man. We're going into week 3 and he's still healthy.
He's Old Faithful. And then on the Buccaneers side, it seems like the running back situation, I would just stay away from altogether. Ronald Jones, Peyton Barber, I don't trust either of them.
Peyton Barber did get the bulk with 23 carries, 82 yards.
Yeah, but he's still not doing much with it. That's the problem.
Yeah, like, I agree there.
He's getting the volume, but yeah. So I would say honestly, the best Buccaneers offensive player right now is Chris Godwin. I mean, I took him in one of my leagues, and it's really paying off for me so far.
Yeah, I was not a Chris Godwin believer at all coming into the season, but he's outperformed Mike Evans. So
absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's something about that Bruce Arians and Chris Godwin in his third year taking a leap, it looks like, and it looks like everyone wanted Jameis to take that step, and the first week he was really terrible, second week he kind of stepped up a little bit, so let's see if he keeps it going against a bad Giants defense, but
yeah,
Chris Godwin right now, he's by far and away the best option there.
So not a whole lot from this game. I think the biggest takeaway is actually just that the Panthers lost to the Buccaneers at home, so.
I know. Definitely pretty bad.
Yeah. We'll move on to touched upon it with my Giants versus the Bills. Giants have been getting ran through by anything that's in front of them. So this week it was Josh Allen in the Buffalo Bills. They won 28-14. I'm not living in the past anymore, you know. I'm not all about the future, so I'm okay with just not talking.
Danny Jones is the future there. Yeah, to be honest, with this game, I don't really think there's anything that needs to be said. This is just a team with, or a game with, all kinds of really bad fantasy options outside of Saquon. I don't think there's really anything else to touch on here. Like, even the Bills starting running back, Singletary, I don't even think you can really trust him either, just because the Bills are just such a bad team in general. Like,
he had six carries for 57 yards. He only had six carries.
It's a weird team. The one guy
he did get hurt
by on the Bills is Josh Allen, just because
yeah.
somehow after like week 10 last year, he just transformed into the greatest rushing quarterback of all time. And I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, I'll say Devin Singletary, he did have a bad game relatively. I mean, he still had a touchdown, but he did pull a hammy or have some kind of hamstring injury. So that's something worth monitoring. If he's out this week, Frank Gore might be worth an ad. But honestly, I think that the Bills scored 28 points just against some terrible Giants defense. And honestly, Daniel Jones might be getting set up for failure with the defense that he has on the other side of the ball. So, I mean, we'll see. But if they can score 40 points a game, maybe their defense can hold a team under 40 points.
That's asking a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not expecting it, but, you know, hopeful.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
No reason to spend any more time on that matchup. Let's see, we got 49ers beat the Cincinnati Bengals. That's more of a Bengals performance that I was expecting. 41-17 at home for the Bengals.
Yeah. That's a little rough. Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is kind of similar to the last matchup. I don't know if there's a whole lot to talk about here because Joe Mixon came in kind of banged up. I mean, AJ Green's not there. I think obviously you have to look at John Ross and Tyler Boyd both just bawling out.
Yeah.
And Andy Dalton somehow connecting with those guys and producing these crazy stat lines. And then on the 49ers side, the running back situation is just a gigantic mess. And
oh, I want thank no God. Part of it. Yes.
I want no part of that.
Their top two leading rushers didn't score a touchdown, but their third next highest rusher scored two touchdowns. So.
Yeah, it's like Jeff Wilson. They alluded to he's going to be the goal line back going forward, and he was on the practice squad as of like 7 days ago. And then you have Raheem Mostert is like leading the charge, and then
Colonel Mustard.
Like it's so weird. That's one of those committees that I just there's no right answer, and it's Kyle Shanahan just doing the same thing he did with the Redskins for years with like Alfred Morris and those guys. Like, there's no right answer. From week to week, it could just drastically change.
How Kyle Juszczyk might be getting some of the touchdowns.
Yeah, maybe.
But
and then the wide receivers for the Niners, like Debo. Dante Pettis is completely absent. Like, he disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know. I dropped him in my league. I had a 12-team league, and I had picked him up as kind of one of my bench wide receivers. Ooh. I was like, man, this is awesome. He's a good bench player. He'll be good down the road. I already dropped him, so. I think of note, yeah, like you said, with the Bengals there, only 25 rushing yards. Couldn't get anything going. You did mention Joe Mixon was kind of banged up coming into the game, so I'm sure that had something to do with it. Also, the fact that they were down early in the game and playing comeback pretty much the entire time.
Yeah, the game script did not help that situation either.
Yeah, so, again, though, I mean, I think that's how the game script's going to be going for them going forward, so strain those wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple matchups coming up where it's just kind of like, you know, Colts-Titans. You can't really say much about any of that. I mean, it's pretty obvious for the Titans. You start Derrick Henry, and then that's pretty much it. You can't really trust Mariota at this point just because he makes too many mistakes still. And Corey Davis is just all over the place. And Delanie Walker, because the tight end position is so thin, you have to start him, so there really aren't, like, for a lot of these matchups, like, there really aren't many question marks. Like, the Colts, I guess you could say the question mark is the tight end position with Jack Doyle or Eric Ebron, but, like, at wide receiver, you're definitely starting T.Y. Hilton if you have him, and there's really no number two. And then you're starting Marlon Mack, because Marlon Mack is leading the league in rushes so far. So, like, there really aren't many questions with a couple of these matchups, so. And not too many surprising things either. Like, you look at the Vikings-Packers, Dalvin Cook got a lot of carries. He did really well again. And then, like, Brandon Cooks, or not Brandon Cooks. Man, why am I blanking on the name? Stephon Diggs. He had that one long touchdown, but it looks like the Vikings' passing attack is just, like, falling apart. Like, Thielen is not doing well. Diggs is not doing well. Kyle Rudolph is nowhere to be found. Like, Kirk Cousins is not doing well. I think it's pretty much just the Cook show over there.
Yeah. Well, let's get back onto the last week games real quick. We'll go talk about that Colts game, Titans game that you had touched upon. Yeah, Marlon Mack kind of fizzled down. Obviously, he's still going to be their lead back there. He had 20 rushes for 51 yards. Jordan Wilkins had 5 carries for 82 yards, so he kind of stole the spotlight there. But Marlon Mack, after that huge week one performance, I wasn't buying into it, especially with Jacoby Brissett at the quarterback. He only had 146 passing yards. 3 TDs somehow in that short yardage, but he had 1 interception as well, so... You know, it's, again, without a quarterback that's dynamic like Andrew Luck used to be, that I don't think that offense is anything worth buying into. Same thing on the other side of the ball, Marcus Mariota. I mean, he'll have 1 good game here, 2 bad games, a 1 good game, 2 more bad games. So I'm not really risking anything on Marcus Mariota. Derrick Henry's been pretty good. He's been having not like a lot of yards, but he's still the workhorse there. They're not really giving Deion Lewis a split there like they used to do in that offense. So Derrick Henry is the only one I would say he's worth having right now. Delanie Walker had the most catches with only 4 catches for 39 yards. So they spread the ball out too much in that offense for the wide receivers to get any love. So yeah, we'll see. Derrick Henry, I think, is the only really player that I would consider starting on this offense.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at a couple of the matchups here, like Chargers, Lions, and
are you looking ahead?
We'll get Texans, to ahead. Cardinals, Ravens. I mean, there's not a whole lot to discuss. I mean, you had the performances you expected from a lot of these guys, and I mean, I don't know. There's not a whole lot to discuss. It seems like a lot of these went as expected this week.
Yeah, well, the Chargers game didn't. Are you kidding me? They lost to the Lions, 13-10. I mean, Austin Eckler still had a touchdown, and he still had 6 catches for 67 yards, so he's still the number one fantasy running back right now. But the offense only scored 10 points. You know, there's a lot of mouths to feed in L.A., and you kind of are hoping that they're feeding those mouths. Hunter Henry's out still, but Keenan Allen, you know, he's semi-productive, 8 catches, 98 yards, but I don't know, man. I expect a lot more out of the Chargers than 10 points. I expect points all around from Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. I mean, yeah, you look at that offense and Mike Williams, I don't know where he went, and I mean, the Hunter Henry hurts for them, and I mean, Keenan Allen is balling out like I think a lot of people expected. I think he was drafted to be a number one or two wide receiver, and I think right now he's at a number one pace. But yeah, I mean, the Chargers won. I think I was expecting. I think it's similar to my stance with the Steelers, where Melvin Gordon just succeeded because he was put in a great position. Because it's he's still a talented running back and still a talented receiver and a good fantasy player, but It's similar to the Steelers, in my opinion, where you look at the rest of the team surrounding them, and there's so much talent. Like, you could, and last year, it was, you could honestly justify starting him and Austin Eckler at the same time, and now we're seeing that running back position can just succeed no matter who's back there.
Yeah. Even Justin Jackson, he's not having, like, a whole bunch of usage, but he's still making good work with his usage.
Absolutely, yeah.
On the other side of the ball, not too much to note here. Kenny Galladay had actually a good game this week. TJ Hockenson was kind of a big tight end add after week one. He had 1 catch for 7 yards. He might kind of fizzle out. Oh, yeah,
he really disappointed.
But I think this might be a testament more to the Lions' defense than anything else. Minus 1 quarter against Kyler Murray in week one, they've pretty much held some pretty good opponents pretty low, so you know that might be a fantasy option going forward if you're trying to find a good defense to fill, or if you have some bad matchups coming up, so might worth watching. We'll go to your Green Bay Packers versus the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, that one I actually didn't get to watch the game because I was out and about on Sunday. And yeah, that was another one of these just kind of like meh matchups. Like, there's not really too much to talk about with it. Like, like I mentioned, it was a Dalvin Cook game and not much else. Like, Kirk Cousins didn't really get much going. Outside of that one long touchdown, Stephon Diggs had just one catch.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen hasn't really had an Adam Thielen game. Kyle Rudolph is nowhere. It's just...
I'm disappointed now if I drafted Thielen or Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, for sure. And the defense isn't even, like, getting a bunch of picks or anything either. Like, the defense isn't helping you.
No.
And then on the flip side, the Packers, like, Davante Adams is... I mean, he's getting his targets and he's getting his usage, but he's not really, like... Like, we haven't had that 25-point game yet, which I think last year...
He used to,
like,
get the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. Week one, he only had, like, 6 or 7 points or something, and it was... Like, if you took that game and put it last year, it would have been his lowest point total of the entire year. So, I mean, it looks like it's an anomaly, but hopefully the Packers offense will get back on track. But it looks like they're finally down with the Aaron Jones train, because last year was so much of a struggle of, like, all right... We're all watching the same game here. Aaron Jones clearly looks like the better running back. Why is Jamal Williams still getting a ton of carries? So now it looks like Aaron Jones has clearly taken over the lion's share of that. And I think they're on the field for a similar amount of snaps. But Aaron Jones is clearly taking the lead of the carries. So
yeah.
I think they're finally at least recognizing that. So it's not making this mess of a backfield where, you know, I was listening to fantasy podcasts last year and they were saying, like, Aaron Jones is so far and away clearly the better running back, but you can't trust him just because he's still splitting carries with Jamal Williams for some reason. But now that's not happening.
Yeah, I'd say another unimpressive performance from the Packers offense, 21 points. I mean, it's enough to win a game against an opponent who only scores 16 points, but, you know, for fantasy, that's not what you want. You want way more points out of Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, so...
Oh, yeah.
I'm torn on the
Another
Packers.
Another thing that's teaching you is you cannot trust Jimmy Graham anymore.
So
if you were...
Jeez, don't even get me started!
But this happens to people all the time. You take
It just happened to me!
Name,
I know!
The name recognition, and it just... You can't trust him. I think it's his ship has sailed.
I can't even talk about it. You said it. You know, you hate when somebody puts up a goose egg. That's the worst.
Yep. Well, take it from me. I drafted Adrian Peterson in, like, the third round or something absurd a couple years ago when he signed with the Saints.
I thought you were going to say this year.
No. It was when he first signed with the Saints. And I thought, like, oh, you know, he's better than Mark Ingram. He's, you know, a Hall of Fame running back. Yeah, he's great. He'll take the lion's share. And sure enough, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara just... dominated in Alvin Kamara's rookie year, and then Adrian Peterson got released. And I was like, well, shit, that was my third round pick.
Yeah, shit happens sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I took him based on the name. Never do that.
Yeah. All right, this one we don't have to spend too much time on. The New England Patriots destroyed the Miami Dolphins in Miami, 43-0. New England Patriots had two pick sixes.
Yeah, the defense really balled out there, but I think that's more of a testament of how bad the Dolphins are. But I think the only comment I have on the Patriots offense is the addition of Antonio Brown. So, obviously, you have Antonio Brown. He's in your starting lineup. But his presence, I think, hurts Josh Gordon more than anyone else. Like, yeah. I think Julian Edelman will still be kind of fine. I think his production will go down a little bit. I think Sony Michel will probably still be fine. I think James White will be fine.
Jason,
but I think
did you
Josh Gordon gets hurt a little bit.
Did you listen to last week's podcast?
I did. Because
I'm pretty sure I said almost that word for word last week.
Well, great minds think alike, my friend.
But no, yeah, I mean, obviously I agree with you. It's kind of an underwhelming performance from Antonio Brown. Only 4 catches for 56 yards. Luckily, one of them ended up in the end zone. So he got the touchdown points, but... I mean, this is another one where Tom Brady's going to throw the ball all over the place and keep you guessing.
I know, and that offense, it just seems to keep on clicking no matter who they face or how old Tom Brady is. Or
and they still run the ball 35 times a game.
It's crazy. I don't think we'll ever see anything like this ever again, of a 42, 43-year-old Tom Brady just still ripping apart NFL defenses. I don't think this will ever happen in NFL history again. This is just absurd.
Yeah, I happened to actually just scroll down and look at some of the defensive stats, and Miami recovered one fumble. Guess who? Minka Fitzpatrick.
Hey, there you go. Well, he's gone.
Yeah, no more. Moving on. Seattle Seahawks took the dub against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, 28-26. Obviously, we touched on the Ben Roethlisberger injury earlier. Mason Rudolph came in, threw for 112 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. So, I mean, who knows, in a full game that might be able to translate. They seem to do better with Mason Rudolph in the game than they did with Ben Roethlisberger. So, I mean, I'm not going to buy into that, but, you know, it's worth noting.
Yeah, I mean, I would say with the Steelers, two guys to keep an eye on. I think if you have Vance McDonald, start him. I think you can be totally confident starting, because we've seen so many tight ends still succeed with backup quarterbacks. Like, even last year, George Kittle was like the third overall tight end for the year, and for most of the year he was catching passes from Nick Mullins. So, like, I think the tight ends, we've seen that they're fine with no matter who's at quarterback, because actually sometimes better with backup quarterbacks. So Vance McDonald, if you have him, keep rolling with him. And then a guy to look out for is James Washington, just because him and Mason Rudolph already have that rapport, however you pronounce that word. How do you pronounce that word? Rapport, yeah, that. English is hard. So if you have him,
Spanish, so I'll give you that.
That's true, yeah. But if you have him, just keep an eye on that one, because, I mean, as of right now, James Washington is not an NFL starting fantasy wide receiver, but you never know. Like, he's one of those ones where I actually drafted him in both my leagues, and I'm still in that honeymoon phase where I'm like, you know what? I still believe. Like, I still believe the preseason and all the hype and everyone and all the experts talking about how great it was going to be and stuff. And especially with Dante Moncrief kind of fading away, I think you have reason to still believe.
Yeah. We'll see, though. I don't believe. But, you know. Seattle Seahawks.
As they say in fantasy football, we will see.
Yeah, of course. Seattle Seahawks, I think of note there, Tyler Lockett had double-digit catches, 10 receptions on 12 targets. So you love to see that, the 12 targets. Mm-hmm. DK Metcalf.
The Seahawks offense, there's just not a whole lot of surprise. Like,
no.
If you have Tyler Lockett, you're probably starting him. If you have Chris Carson, you're probably starting him. If you have Russell Wilson, he's either your number two QB or you're starting him. So there's really not a whole lot of, like, up in the air kind of things.
I hate the running game from this offense, and I hate the running backs. I always will. And Russell Wilson, I swear to God, like, he can only play one good half of football each game. In terms of fantasy stats, he will make you, like, think that he's going to get 0 points, and then all of a sudden he will, you know, throw for 300 yards. And somehow one drive.
He turns it on in the second. That's his game plan.
But, yeah, other than Tyler Lockett, my man DK Metcalf, he only had 3 catches, but he got another touchdown this week. So that's 2 for the dude. 7 targets, so I do like to see that. He's my sleeper. He's always been my sleeper, so I'm going to keep promoting him.
Yeah, there you go. I think you just got to wait and see with him. I think a lot of the hype was just based on the combine, but it looks like he's starting to back it up.
The hype was all based off of that picture of him standing next to Tyler Lockett. That's what the hype is about with him.
Yeah, true.
So we got another matchup here, division rivalry. Dallas Cowboys beat the Redskins 31-21. Not too much of a surprise here. Kind of as expected. Cowboys offense rolled. They gave up maybe a little few more points than I expected them to, but yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely a Zeke game.
Zeke finally got his carries back.
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. It was, you know, a 20 rushes, 100 yards, 1 touchdown, just a solid 20-point effort.
Definitely more of a Zeke performance. Only 2 catches for 9 yards, but I expect that to go up. You know, Dak is still their quarterback. He's been one of the top fantasy quarterbacks so far this season. And I hate the dude. I don't think he's a great NFL quarterback, but he's still going to be giving you fantasy points as long as Ezekiel is running back and they're playing against shitty opponents like the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, which I guess benefits some of the Redskins receivers, because it looks like they're going to be down in a lot of games. So either Case Keenum or eventually maybe Dwayne Haskins takes over. They're going to be looking at Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis, and even the new guy, Terry McLaurin, the rookie.
Yeah.
Looks like he's sort of seizing that number one receiving option role.
Dude,
and then Chris Thompson,
them
too. Exactly.
All right. Let's power through these. I don't know if we need to talk about all of them. Ravens beat Cardinals 17-23. Kyler Murray still had 350 yards passing, but only 17 points from the Cardinals. David Johnson got the one touchdown. He went out with an injury, but he came back in, so that's something to keep an eye on. Yeah, so it looks
like he's going
to
be fine.
Yeah, so Lamar Jackson, you know, had another good game passing. Got more involved in the rushing this time. Yeah, he had 16 carries for 120 yards, so top quarterback right now in fantasy behind maybe Patrick Mahomes, and that's it. So
that's crazy. Yeah, he's taken the Mahomes title from last year of the 14th, 13th round quarterback who's going to win you your fantasy league, possibly.
Yeah, Mark Andrews still impressing over there for a tight end, definitely.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
Yeah, I love that guy now. He's my favorite tight end this year. So we'll move on from that. Jaguars, Texans, a low-scoring affair here after that big game of the Texans. We thought that we were going to get more than 13 points. They beat the Jaguars at home 13-12. So defense is definitely a good option for fantasy players here. Carlos Hyde had 90 yards. So I believe he's, I think, number 4 in rushing yards so far this season. So definitely worth keeping an eye on. I think he's definitely taking the lead role over Duke Johnson. So you can kind of get rid of Duke Johnson at this point.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, Duke Johnson only really had receiving potential anyway. So, yeah, I would say Duke Johnson probably isn't going anywhere, especially if they're only putting up 13 points a game. Because I think if they're putting up that low of a point total, obviously DeAndre Hopkins has to eat first, and then, you know, Duke Johnson is that, like, third or fourth option. So
yeah. On the other side, no Nick Foles, obviously, for a while. Leonard Fournette's getting high usage, so you're still going to be starting Leonard Fournette. Obviously, he's the lead back there, one of your top fantasy options. So still starting Leonard Fournette, but not many other options there in Jacksonville at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Jacksonville running back, you know, carry leaders, you have, and it's similar to the Cleveland situation with Nick Chubb. Leonard Fournette has 28 rushes so far within the two games. The number 2 rusher, do you want to take a guess at how many rushes he has?
Tell me.
1. So it's Leonard Fournette and no one.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, he's workhorse. In zero danger whatsoever.
Definition.
So I think that's a good thing about that Jacksonville offense is even if their quarterback there can't make anything happen, Leonard Fournette is the only other option.
Yeah. Let's see. Kansas City Chiefs roll past the Oakland Raiders 28-10. Not too much to talk about here, as expected. You got some running back injuries to monitor for Kansas City coming into week 3. Careful with those running backs just because who knows what the usage is going to be based off of who's hurt more. But I believe LeSean McCoy and Damien Williams will both be good to go.
That's what it's looking like, but honestly, I'm a little upset we drafted our league when we did because I actually took Damien Williams in like the 3rd round, I think. And then like 2 days later, they signed LeSean McCoy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, shit, this is not good.
I think I tried to get him from you, didn't I?
Maybe.
At some point. Maybe. Or maybe I was thinking about it just to myself. But
yeah, that might have been it too.
Anyway, a lot of backup wide receivers there that are just kind of risks at this point. Obviously, they got a good quarterback, but the sustainability, you have no idea at this point. So just watch those backup wide receivers other than Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce and see who steps up.
Yeah, I mean, you got Hardman and Robinson, and the problem with here is a problem that you had with Jacksonville a couple years ago where they had D.D. Westbrook and a couple other guys, and like the problem with them is you never know who it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, week 1 it was Sammy Watkins. Week 2 it was DeMarcus Robinson. Week 3, who knows? Like, it changes so much. Like, there are these couple 3 talented wide receivers, with Sammy Watkins obviously is the number 1, but you just never know who is going to have the big game on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah. All right, let's keep powering through here. Chicago Bears beat the Broncos 16-14. I don't even want to mention this one.
Is bad.
I'm going to move
Bears
on.
Bears offense is bad.
I'm going to just move straight on to the Saints-Rams. This was probably the game of the week in terms of you know, coming into it, what you're expecting out of offenses.
And ended up being the highest publicity game anyway.
Yeah, because Drew Brees obviously got hurt.
Exactly,
and that kind of caused a big deal there. Freak accident, kind of. Aaron Donald just goes up to try and block the pass, and his follow-through on a pass, the hand just goes straight into that brick of Aaron Donald's hand and shatters.
Which is understandable for any human being.
Yeah.
But with the Ram, on the flip side, with the Rams offense, and we already talked
about Saints. Yeah, we don't need to talk about Saints anymore.
But the Rams offense, it's that whole thing with Todd Gurley is so weird. Like, they clearly do not want to run him into the ground anymore.
No,
like,
I don't know.
They don't want to get him 200 touches.
You still have to start him, though. It sucks.
You still have to start him. That's the thing, because you never know when he's going to get 3 touchdowns. Like, he did. There were a couple games last year where he would have, like, 19 rushes for 58 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and then like 3 catches for 34 yards and another touchdown, and that would equal a 30-point game, even though he didn't have that many yards. But yes, you never know when those games are going to come for Todd Gurley. But the problem is, they don't want him to get re-injured, or they don't want to aggravate anything or whatever. So I mean, he's like almost getting into a timeshare with Malcolm Brown.
Yeah. Well.
So I would say the only thing I could say about that is, if Malcolm Brown is available in your league, you have to pick him up.
Yeah, and we talked about Malcolm Brown last week a good bit, but this is so frustrating, this situation, just because Todd Gurley did get the one touchdown from the running backs this week, but that was a goal line look. I thought that Malcolm Brown was now their goal line guy, but they gave it to Todd Gurley, so this one's hard to predict. Like I said, if you have Todd Gurley, you're still starting him, but if you have Malcolm Brown, I don't think you have enough to, you know, put him in your starting roster yet.
No, probably not. That's what's just so frustrating. But I actually did pick up Malcolm Brown in my other league, and I'm just holding on to him on my bench because at this point, he's the most valuable handcuff in the league.
Yeah, he's worth rostering.
You have to think that if Todd Gurley were 100% healthy, he'd be used exactly like he was last year.
And I don't think he's going to be 100% healthy anytime soon.
No, exactly. So if he ever gets re-injured and he comes out, and Malcolm Brown gets thrust into that feature role.
Yeah. All right, Eagles lose to the Falcons. I know Matt would probably love to talk about this one too.
That was this is
disappointing.
This is kind of an irrelevant game fantasy wise, just because the guys weren't out there. Like, you can't say anything about Alshon or DeSean Jackson just because they weren't there. So
yeah, Eagles.
We knew Zach Ertz was going to do well. We knew it was going to be a confusing situation at running back with Sanders and Howard and Sproles,
and it is.
Wentz was going to do well, and yeah, it still is. There's no more clarity on that than there was. So from the Eagles, I don't think you can really say much about this just because the guys weren't there.
Mass confusion from these two teams for fantasy. Yeah. Julio Jones had 2 touchdowns, so that's about the only like thing that you expected with consistency. Calvin really had a really good game. I don't know if he's going to keep doing that or not. Eagles, like you said, they were hit by the injury bug this week, so you can't really put too much on this loss. But if these guys are still going to be out for multiple weeks, then, you know, starts to add up and mess with your psyche a little bit, so careful there. Watch those injuries.
Yeah, exactly. And then on the flip side with Atlanta, I think this is what I wanted to touch on with, like, you know, we're still in sort of that honeymoon phase with like the draft, and you know, whenever you're getting trade proposals, in the back of your mind you're always thinking like, well, I don't want to trade my 3rd round pick for his 7th round pick or whatever, but
yeah.
I think we're slowly starting to get past that point where the draft position doesn't matter anymore.
I agree.
Like, where you drafted a guy, you know, when it's week 1, then yes, it matters because you spent, you know, a 1st round pick and you don't want to trade him for a 3rd round pick or whatever. But it's stopping mattering because you look at the Atlanta running backs, and I think this is going to ship soon, and possibly even if Devonta Freeman has an injury like he has in the past couple years. But you look at the running back situation there, Devonta Freeman has 19 carries for 41 yards. Ito Smith has 10 for 63. So it's not even close. Ito Smith has far and away been the more productive running back when he's gotten his carries. So I think even if he just slowly overtakes him, or if Devonta has that, you know, you hate to say it, but inevitable injury, I think Ito Smith is definitely worth picking up because he's waiting for his chance.
Yeah, if Devonta goes down, Ito Smith is definitely worth a pickup.
Absolutely.
But at this point, they're just like 50-50 on an offense that's more focused on throwing the ball. So,
for sure. Which is why I would say even if you it's hard to do, but even if you drafted Devonta Freeman to be your number 2 running back, I think you have to bench him. He's not doing anything for you.
Getting to that point, which is sad.
It's getting to that point. Healthy. Yeah, like, you got to forget about draft position. Just put him on your bench. It doesn't matter if you drafted him in the fourth round. He's not worth it.
Speaking of draft position not mattering, last game we got here, Browns, we already talked about the Browns, but the Jets. Le'Veon Bell just fucking 21 carries, 68 yards, caught all 10 of his targets. So 10 catches
that's
for 61
really
yards.
Yeah, that's really helping his cause there.
He really didn't have that many yards, but I swear to God, he went 10 yards backwards to run and gain 2 yards so many times, and he made some athletic-ass plays in this game.
It's a LeSean McCoy special.
Yeah, he's still definitely a freak athlete. So keep going with him. Biggest quarterback injury of the year, Trevor Siemian. Trevor Siemian in...
Poor guy.
You know, in replacement of Sam Darnold, who has mononucleosis, decides to get Myles Garrett-ed, and the man fell on his ankle just like Greg Williams probably would have asked him to. And so Luke Falk comes in the game, not related to Marshall Falk, in case you were curious.
No.
It's not even spelled the same way. But, that's all I had to say about the Jets. There's really nothing else to say.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's, and I think even at the beginning of the year, even with a healthy Sam Darnold, their number one receiving option was Robbie Anderson. And he was a flex at best, just because he's one of the most boomer bust players ever. Like, he could go off for 19 points or two.
Yeah.
Like, there's no in between really for Robbie Anderson. So now especially, he's still worth having on your team, but definitely do not start him if you can help it.
Yeah. So I guess we'll move on from week two and look ahead at week three. Some fantasy matchups to watch out for. Dallas Cowboys versus the Miami Dolphins. That's going to be a slaughter. And
absolutely.
The Cowboys will probably pretty close to emulate what the Patriots just did to them.
That's what I would think. I mean, you got to think Zeke is going to play the first half.
Yeah.
Put up maybe like 12 carries for 88 yards and maybe a touchdown or two, and then come out the second half or something, or at least the fourth quarter. And then as far as the receivers for the Cowboys, Amari Cooper will probably do pretty well like he has this season so far. Randall Cobb will probably get some looks. And then I think Devin Smith is worth a look as well. If you need a wide receiver, I think Devin Smith, if you can't pick up anyone else, he might be worth a look because he's been doing pretty well the past two games anyway, and Michael Gallup is out. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're... I don't know how you could possibly be hurting this early into the season, but I mean, his last game...
deep leagues, Jason, deep leagues.
Exactly, yeah, deep league. He 3 catches, 74 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, it's worth looking at.
Yeah, I'd say... I believe Zeke will have 200 all-purpose yards and at least one touchdown before he goes out of the game at halftime. And interesting look for this week, since they're playing against the Dolphins, Pollard might be getting some good playing time. So, you know,
that's
if they're
true.
Running the ball up a lot, he might be getting a lot of looks. So, interesting sneaky look there. We'll move on there to the Ravens at the Chiefs. Offense versus defense, but really that defense is more of an offense this year in the Ravens, so
yeah, for sure. Now the Ravens,
I don't know,
it
might give the Ravens the advantage here, but it is,
they're a sneaky team. I think a lot of people in the beginning of the season were looking at them as a Super Bowl contender, not even considering an enormous leap from Lamar like we've seen, just because their defense was good already and the offense was going to be probably pretty good. But yeah, the Ravens are, they're looking scary. I mean, they've Hollywood Brown, and they got Mark Ingram is like, looks like he's rejuvenated, and Lamar obviously is one of the top quarterback options you could have. If you have Lamar, you got to start him unless you drafted Mahomes 7 rounds earlier.
Jason, I just saw your notes in our Google Doc. Sorry, Jason's trying to hurry me up with talking about Week 2 analysis. So, but he's right. We're trying to keep our episodes a little bit shorter for you, so it's not as much to take in at once. But we'll keep on going here, chugging along. Jets are going to get slaughtered by the Patriots.
Yeah, that's good.
That's enough for that one. Rams at Browns, that could just be a good matchup, good game to watch. Browns are, you know, trying to prove that they are the team that people thought they were coming into the season. and Rams are trying.
I think that matchup is just interesting, just because there's so many fantasy relevant players in it.
Yeah,
like the Rams have Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, and then the Browns have Baker Mayfield is probably being started in a lot of leagues. Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, like. There's a lot of fantasy relevant players in that, so it's yeah. looking like that matchup. Odds are you have at least one of those guys.
Gonna be a fun one to watch. All right, so let's get to the end of here and go to this new segment that we're gonna try out, which I'm sure we've already actually tried probably last year at some point. But we're gonna go through. And Jason is going to give me two wide receiver statistics without giving me names, and I'm going to have to pick one. And then I will do the same thing with running backs for him.
Yeah, so this goes back to the whole, you know, you can't base a guy off of where you drafted him. Like, you can't go based off name recognition or where you drafted him or something, you know, because that doesn't matter anymore. Like, the rounds, they just don't matter. Okay, so here's wide receiver number one. 10 catches on the year. So these are between the two games. 10 catches, 146 yards, 0 touchdowns, but 20 targets. And then wide receiver 2, 11 catches, 142 yards, 0 touchdowns, 17 targets.
See, I'm going to go with the guy who has 17 targets. I like that with the 0 touchdowns between the two.
Yeah, so to repeat, the first one was 10 catches, 146 yards, 0 touchdowns, 20 targets.
Oh, you said 20 targets. I thought you said 20 targets.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then wide receiver 2 is 11 catches, 142 yards, no touchdowns as well, but 17 targets.
Okay, so yards is pretty similar. I'm going to go with more targets, so I'm going to go with player A with 20 targets, that guy.
So player A was Christian Kirk, and player B was Devontae Adams.
Yeah, well, I would not
go
with that.
So, I mean, in that case, it's tough to say in that case just because, like, you know, Devontae, you're kind of banking on him bringing it back up and making up for a slow first game. But, I mean, it goes to show you that, like, where a guy was drafted doesn't matter as much. I mean, if this continues, like, obviously we're only 2 weeks in, so it's really hard to say one way or the other. Like, last year, Will Disley had a phenomenal first two games, and it faded completely. But
this year, too.
Yeah, this year, too, exactly. But yeah, like, the stats are just so all over the place, and you can have guys that start off really well and make it up, or guys that just never get it together at all.
I always say don't have a short-term memory, but at the same time, this is when you want to buy into players if you're going to buy into them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So I'll go from the running back side. First running back is... has 34 carries between the first two games, 165 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and then on the receiving side, he has 3 catches for 87 yards and 1 receiving touchdown. Player B has 26 carries for 142 rushing yards, 0 rushing touchdowns. Now he has 8 catches for also 87 yards and 0 receiving touchdowns. So, one player has a lot more touchdowns than the other one. I think it's pretty clear which one has better stats here.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. It's player A for sure.
But the thing is, player A is Derrick Henry, and player B is Alvin Kamara. So, it's just like,
ooh.
That's where you think that you don't want to buy too much into, you know, just 2 weeks of statistics.
For sure, yeah. That's why this is such an overreaction, but... I mean, sometimes it's warranted, and especially with the recent news, I think Alvin Kamara's value is plummeting.
True, but, I mean, those stats involve one full game with Drew Brees and then a quarter with him as well.
Exactly, yeah.
And he's one of those guys that you think is going to perform, regardless of who his quarterback is.
Yeah, and I think Alvin Kamara, it's a little hard to overreact to this just because it was, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was thrust into a game not knowing he was going to be starting.
Yeah.
Like, with an injury, it's tough. Like, when you come in mid-game, and it's like, you know, when Gabe Kapler did last year, when he brought in a pitcher and he didn't even warm up yet, so it's like, it's hard to come into a game like Gabe not knowing Kapler. You're coming in, and then all of a sudden, within like 3 seconds, you see a guy go down, and you're like, oh shit, that's me, I gotta go in, and then try and figure it out from there. So I think with a game plan and everything like that, and especially a couple of weeks of familiarity and comfortability going forward, I think Alvin Kamara will be fine, but I think his value definitely does take a drop. So if he's looking at like a 20 point per game average, fantasy point per game average. Maybe now he's looking at like a 15 or 14.
Yeah. But again, just like Christian McCaffrey without his quarterback, I think he's still going to eat.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It just dips a little bit, but yeah, he'll still be fine. The talent will go through.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, week two was that was a fun one, man. There's been so much news here with the quarterback injuries and benchings and Antonio Brown doing his shenanigans and stuff. Like, you never know what's going on in the NFL.
Yeah, this is the time where you start to either feel like the fantasy gods hate you, or you feel blessed that you haven't gotten to deal with any of these players that have been affected by injuries, or the players themselves that have gotten injured.
Yeah, exactly.
I avoided, based off of my draft positions, James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster in all four of my leagues.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky that I have no Saints or Steelers, so I think I'm doing okay there.
I have Adam Thielen in one league. I didn't have him or Diggs in any other league, so that one feels okay, I guess. Another one that's sad, I targeted Austin Eckler in like all of my leagues and only ended up with him in one league, so that one hurt a little bit. But
I did kind of want him too, because I felt like he was going way too low for where the projections were, because it felt like coming into the draft he was targeted like in the sixth round or fifth round or something, but it felt like everyone knew Melvin Gordon would not be back.
Yeah, especially like later into the, you know, preseason weeks. As most drafts are happening, people are believing less and less in Melvin Gordon coming back.
Yeah, like when we were doing our draft, I think pretty much everyone knew Zeke would be back at least before like week two or week one or something.
Yeah.
And then everyone knew like Melvin Gordon would not be back. He was out indefinitely. So I think that's why we were all so much more comfortable. Like, it's why I took Zeke at the seventh overall. And it's why Melvin Gordon fell to, I don't even know where he fell to, maybe the fourth or fifth or something.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, let's get going on out of here now. We got some fine Week 3 matchups ahead of us.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. You got Packers-Broncos. Ooh, that'll be a good one.
And hopefully we're out here getting our clean sweeps in fantasy again. PPR is always here for you. You can always hit us up on Twitter, Facebook. On Twitter, we're at @PPR_official. You can just look us up, Fantasy Process Report, on Facebook, and give us a like, shoot us a follow, ask us any questions. You know, if anybody's, like we said, interested in guest appearing on our podcast here, we'd be happy to, you know, test the waters. So don't hesitate to hit me up.
Yeah, Nick is a big fan of the stardom sit-em kind of debates where they'll go on Twitter, find your stardom sit-ems, and give an opinion. And usually, a lot of times, he's pretty close.
Pretty close, Jason. I'm right. I am right. 100% right. Of the time. That is
correct.
That is what I sell myself on to our listeners and our viewers, is that I am right 100% of the time.
Probably a lot better than Hungy, given his collective record in the... in our afternoon delight.
In his collection past, like, 7 years. Of bobbleheads, maybe.
Oh, God, I love it.
Dale.
It's a 305.
All right, everybody. I'm out of here. Signing out. This is Nick.
And I'm Jason. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Good night.